Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for your pro wrestling news. And it's available here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and anywhere fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, soundcloud.com/Steven Larson, but not that Spotify. We're on the road.
But very soon we will be on Spotify, won't we, Steve?
What are you talking about? We're going to try to get there. We got to figure out some technical details. I downloaded Spotify. Is that what you're talking
about? We lost a wager. Therefore, we must go on Spotify immediately.
Immediately, that wasn't part of the wager. It was, I'm going to see what I can do about getting it there before Fastlane-ish, WrestleMania-ish. Around there, thereabouts.
Those were not the terms.
We're still on the road to Spotify. I mean, maybe we're approaching the exit sign.
Yes, very quickly.
Well, you know.
Our blinker is on.
Oh, is it? Well, you put your blinker on a little quicker than I do, my friend. Yeah, we also have a Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you guys can contribute to the show and help make it better in exchange for goods and services, such as at the $5 mark, what do you get at $5, Larson?
A weekly live stream.
You get to watch us
of us shooting the Tuesday episode, our Raw recap.
We interact with the chat room and
yes.
say hello, and
yes.
you get a bonus episode every week.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's great. Why wouldn't you want to do that? At $10, you get one of these postcards. Bang. Done.
Yeah.
Done. In the mail. All right. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get any number of fine shirts.
Well, there's four shirts.
Including that. Well, Pro Wrestling Tees in general has a lot of really great
True.
Shirts. Our specific store has
four shirts.
Four. I'm trying to come up with a new idea for a different for another shirt.
I have a couple. I just need to make the designs.
Execute them.
Yeah.
All right. And where else are we? Where else can they find us? That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Twitter at RealGoingInRaw.
Mm-hmm.
At Joy of Bearding.
At
MF Steve here. You know what the MF stands for?
My friendo.
My friendo, Steve here, exactly. And also at Steven Larson. I don't know why we have so many Twitter addresses. Anyways, let's get into the news.
Yeah, let's get to the news.
Let's get right. I'm going to copy. Can Drama Alert, can Keemstar copyright flag me if I say, let's get right into the news? He does it much better than I do.
Yeah.
All right. So there's going to be, this is really weird. And really interesting.
It is interesting.
There's going to be a movie about Paige and her family.
Yes. Produced
by The Rock and the WWE.
Yes. This past Tuesday, The Hollywood Reporter reported that The Rock, his production company, I believe it's $7 Productions.
Okay.
And WWE Films are teaming together to produce a film based on the true life story of Paige. I guess the film is based on a documentary
mm-hmm.
called... The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family.
I've seen little bits and pieces of that.
Aired on Channel 4 in the UK.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of that, and it's exactly what you think it is. I mean, she does have a very interesting upbringing because her entire family is a family of wrestlers.
Yeah.
And so they run their own promotion. And so it sounds like it make for an interesting... I saw bits and pieces of the documentary. It's interesting. And I think it will make for an interesting movie. And there's some high-profile shit going on here. This is just like a podunk WWE movie. Lena Headey from the Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is
she plays Cersei.
That's right. Nick Frost.
Who's been in several Simon Pegg films.
Simon Pegg.
He was in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz?
That's the one that was called? Where they were, where they were cops?
Yeah. Hot Fuzz.
And the
other end of...
What was that
World's
one?
End?
World's End.
The World's End.
Yeah.
He was in that. And then the alien one, what was that called? There was an alien where Seth Rogen plays the voice of the alien.
Oh, what was that called? Shoot.
I forget what it was called.
Was it
Ed?
No.
It wasn't Ed. Who cares? What was it? Anyways.
I'll find out because now I want to know.
But anyways, they're kind of biggish names, you
yes.
know?
Yes. And Stephen Merchant.
And Stephen Merchant is directing
it. Is writing and directing it.
That's fantastic. That alone sells me.
Paul.
Okay, Paul. Yeah, and it is Hot Fuzz. That alone, the fact that Stephen Merchant is writing and directing it sells me on it immediately.
Yeah, Stephen Merchant worked with Ricky Gervais
A lot. Yeah, exactly.
A lot.
And I'm pretty sure, because I know Didn't Ricky, did they co-direct the original Office, or did somebody else? I know they had a very heavy creative hand in all that.
Yeah, yeah, they were the executive producers of that show, and then
Everything else, yeah, that extras, they did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, this sounds really good. No, yeah. So who's going to play Florence Pugh? She's sort of a newcomer, is that right?
Yeah, apparently she's on a Netflix show.
Okay.
That is gaining some prominence now.
Oh, she does kind of look like Paige. Oh my God, she does look like Paige. I could totally see that. Yeah. Well, okay. So the bigger kind of interesting story here, though,
Marcella, I believe, is the series is on Netflix now.
Is that there's been speculation for God, what, almost a year, coming up on like what, 8 months or so?
Yeah.
That the relationship between the WWE and Paige
had been deteriorating.
Was strained.
Deteriorating.
Yeah, was strained at best.
It goes back to
Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, pretty much.
It goes to. So they. Yeah, they became a thing, a romantic, you know, couple.
Yeah, rumors were circulating that people within WWE were not too fond of their relationship and made efforts to separate them, break them up.
Brand split?
Yeah, the brand split happened. They were drafted to different brands. Again, rumor has it.
Then there was a rumor that said that they basically, that one of the talent guys pulled them aside and or pulled Paige aside and said, you need to not date this guy.
Yeah.
Her own family even like posted a Facebook thing, like, cause they were defending her sort of honor against the WWE because she wanted neck surgery and the WWE saying, well,
there's talk that they might not pay for it because they didn't think it was medically necessary.
Yeah. And their family said, yes, it was through a series of Facebook posts. But then they also said, like, the father posted on Facebook that he doesn't want Paige anywhere near Alberto Del Rio, but they seem like, if you get on their Instagram right now, like, they seem like they're more in love now than ever.
Yeah.
She proposed to him in the middle of the ring at some indie show. He said yes, apparently. They seem to be as happy as can be.
Also, Paige has been suspended twice.
She's been suspended twice.
For wellness policy violations. Yeah.
And she's still recovering from her surgery now.
Yep.
There's no information really as to when, like, she hasn't been cleared or anything.
No, but she had been posting some stuff, or Del Rio had, or no, she did, about she was doing some MMA training.
She was doing some, yeah, with him. I saw
with him,
those,
yeah.
And so, you know, everything sort of seemed like there was that rumor that they sort of propagated on Twitter that she was pregnant, and then she, you know, there was just a joke or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Also, though, after Del Rio was released, there was rumors that she was trying to retain a lawyer in an attempt to get out of her contract.
Yeah. So, and we've covered this all, like, throughout the months. And so it's there, you know, the relationship would have to be on better, you would think.
Yeah.
Would have to be on decent ground for WWE Studios, for WWE Films, to then, you know, be trusted with the story of her family in movie form.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very interesting. It makes you wonder, well, this is, and on top of that, like, I will guarantee you one of the biggest ways to promote this film is by having Paige back on WWE TV in a prominent position, probably winning that women's championship at some point.
Yep.
So, and because she's on the Raw brand, right?
Yeah.
Del Rio got drafted to SmackDown?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in that first episode?
I don't remember, but he also got suspended really quickly.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
He got suspended in mid-August, I think.
Okay.
Both of them did in mid-August, her first suspension. And then pretty much right as his suspension ended, his contract.
Yeah.
Ended too, so.
So, I don't know. I mean, you'd think that this is good news for people who want to see Paige back in the WWE, myself included. Mm-hmm, I think there's a lot that they can still do with her. And so this looks like it's like, you know, it's got a lot of good pedigree behind it. The movie does.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing the movie.
Yeah.
I've always been a big Paige fan. It's odd seeing her and Alberto Del Rio. And then you hear things, you know, you hear rumors and there's rumors like we don't really know what the deal is.
Yeah.
But knowing that, like, if you know, hearing the rumor that she was trying to get out of her contract and employing lawyers and stuff, you know, it's like, you're a business person. You got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as a fan of the product and as a fan of hers, I wanted to see her in the WWE, you know, selfishly.
Yes.
And so this, to me, the Paige fan guy, It's good news,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
a couple different ways. So interesting to see how this will develop. Somebody tweeted at Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer within the past week when this story broke, saying, "What's up with this?" And he says, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of, "Fascinating story that's still kind of developing," essentially. Those weren't his exact words,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't say anything definitive like, "Oh yeah, they're on great terms, everything's great." It's what this is kind of more like, this is news to me.
Yeah,
you know. So, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Be interesting to see how this goes.
Yeah,
yeah. Continuing along WWE financial news.
Yes, today I believe on Thursday mm-hmm. they had WWE held their quarterly conference call.
Yes,
to review the previous quarter's financials, but this was also a recap of their 2016 financials.
These are always kind of interesting because there's always like little tidbits in them. Like for example, the last two calls sort of made a little bit of news in the nerdy wrestling WWE circles because the question of whether or not Vince McMahon would ever sell the WWE
Correct.
Popped up
Correct.
In light of the UFC selling to William Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said, well, you know, we'd look at offers if they were serious offers.
Pretty much whatever was best for business.
Exactly. So there's a couple takeaways here.
Nothing quite as major as that.
Yeah.
But just to recap the financial stuff quickly, in 2016, WWE brought in $729 million in revenue.
Highest in company's history.
Yep. $33.8 million in profits, mm-hmm. Which is up from last year. Both those numbers are up from last year, but the profit number is below what they were making in profit before the network.
Makes me wonder what that was, and I'm sure that info is somewhere out there, but what the network would have to be at. For the network to start being a major contributor
to
their profits?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily the network. I don't think the network is making up for the lost in pay-per-view revenue yet.
Right, it's a TV deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's sort of going to be the question because, like, the guy who runs New Japan, I forget his name, top of my head, he was saying, you know, you're on precarious ground. You know, he's a competitor, so he's going to might be saying this just, you know, to talk shit. But he said, you know, you're kind of on precarious ground when you're relying on cable TV rights.
With so much going on in terms of how content is distributed. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so so it makes me wonder if, you know, it says network subscriptions at this point, another figure from the call, are up to over 1.4 million, about 100,000 up from quarter three.
But it's still, I believe, down at the beginning of 2016, they were around 1.5 million.
Okay. All right. But it doesn't look like they're not bleeding subs.
No.
Let's see here. Vince also mentioned the bottom line is like the majority of their profit comes from their TV deal because they signed a new TV deal last year. Vince mentioned the possibility of doing their banding about the idea of doing 205 live house shows, kind of similar to what you see with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes.
And a European outpost touring springing from the UK tournament. So like a touring brand in the UK. So like a little satellite promotion out there.
Yeah.
Featuring talents from the UK tournament.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting as well. Everybody's still, I mean, we all kind of knew that the UK tournament was going to be the springboard for either network show or bringing something like ICW or Progress mm-hmm. over to the network
mm-hmm.
in some fashion and spotlighting those talents and having that belt defended in that program.
Yeah, but also sounds like they're doing kind of a house show circuit as well.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly.
In conjunction with whatever programming they might do.
So the question is, how is this going to be branded? Is it going to be co-promotional with those other things? Like that's sort of, you know, it's vague at this point. But the new thing was 205 Live specific house shows. And according to the Wrestling Observer report, they said that between NXT shows,
there's two of those,
which runs two, SmackDown,
that's four.
That's four.
If they have 205 Live, that's five.
Mm-hmm. And then I think he said there's he stated that the number could possibly be as high as six. Oh, because of the UK thing.
Yeah.
So around the world,
there could be six touring brands.
Yeah. So as many
or six regular touring shows.
Right. He said on any given Saturday, you might show there might be six show WWE shows running somewhere, you know, at some point in the world,
which is a lot.
which is a lot. Related to that, house show attendance on average was down. So per show, it was down.
Yeah, but revenues from house shows were up, correct? Because they're doing more of them.
Because they're doing more shows, yeah.
Overall. Also, Vince mentioned the possibility of talent exchanges mm-hmm. between brands as a way to kind of freshen up, keep things fresh on Raw and SmackDown. And he used Roman Reigns as an example of a star that can switch brands.
Why would he keep on talking about Roman Reigns? Let me ask you this. Do you think that this could perhaps be an early tell that a new brand draft is on its way without wanting to give away the
could
idea
be.
That there's going to be another brand draft?
Could be. I mean, regardless if there's a draft or not, I mean, there hasn't been any trades yet, right?
No. No, there's been the threat of trades. So yeah. Trades in their universe is something that can happen.
Yeah.
Can happen.
I'd be interested to see if they don't go with a full redraft.
Mm-hmm.
If they do something like that, like they just swing a couple trades and see how that works.
Much prefer that because we've talked about this before, because I like the idea of growing with rosters.
I agree.
You know, but Roman Reigns, trading Roman Reigns for AJ Styles, that'd be great. Get AJ on the good show. I love that because people in the comments are...
I know, they just start typing away. Steve and his raw bias.
Steve equals raw bias. SmackDown's the best show.
Well, SmackDown is the better show, but it's not the best show.
I love them all, man. But I like NXT the most.
Yeah, NXT might be the best show.
Figure that out.
Might be the best show. But it's interesting. All this stuff is interesting. Shows a company, I guess, in good health.
Yeah.
They're profitable.
Yeah.
They're expanding.
Yeah.
Not just here domestically, but internationally.
Well, it's smart. You're getting like a good TV deal while you're building up your future, the network. Because I'm really curious what would... I know it would have to be far more than this, but I wonder what the multiplier would have to be for them to reach the TV money deal. I mean... 5 years from now, cable TV is still going to be fine. 10 years from now, we don't know what it's going to look like. I would imagine there would still be a premium on live content.
Oh, yeah.
I just, and high produced,
content with high production value.
With high production value. Thank you. That's not, the demand for that's not going to go away. So in one form or another, you know, while they're able to build up these subscription. What would the ratio of revenue be at 5 million? I have no idea. I'm sure we could probably figure that out.
You can do the math at $10 a month for 5 million people.
Yeah, it's 50 million
million a month.
50 million a month, which if
times 12 would be 600 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like looking at
that. But like, you know, you look at the ratings and the numbers of actual viewers who watch mm-hmm. Raw or SmackDown is generally somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million.
Right, exactly. So is that 5 million figure?
That 3 million seems to be the ceiling. You would think.
Yeah, you would think so.
But also, that's 3 million people knowing as part of their cable package they get to watch wrestling. Would they go then and say, "I'm gonna put down $10 a month just so I can watch Raw and SmackDown"?
Well, it's converting. It's converting those, because I don't think they're ever gonna leave whatever TV ends up being. It's converting those 3 million into diehards who want the network.
And it's actually fairly impressive that they have managed half of their television audience roughly subscribes to the network.
I know.
That's pretty impressive.
I know. No, I agree. Definitely agree.
205 Live house shows.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they need to beef up the roster a little bit.
They definitely need to beef up
the roster. If that's the plan going forward.
Because they don't have... Here's the thing. They don't have 205... It's an hour show. They don't have 205 Live pay-per-views where it's exclusively 205 Live.
No.
You're right. They don't have the numbers. That's not to say they can't reload pretty quickly or can't load up pretty quickly in anticipation of this. If they ran 205 Live... Okay, so if it was in Sacramento, we would go.
Oh, yeah.
Of course we'd go. If it was in San Jose...
I mean, we don't go to Raw or SmackDown house shows when they're in the Bay Area.
That's true. There's a lot of shows in the Bay Area I would love to go to.
Yeah,
Hood Slam. Love to go to Hood Slam.
All Pro Wrestling is putting on a show at the Cow Palace in May.
Oh, man.
That's pretty huge.
That's cool. I want to go there. Let's do that. And then we just found out that Payback...
is going to be in San Jose.
Going to be in San Jose. Probably go to that. A 205 Live house show, though, as it stands right now, no. Now, if we heard... that on the 205 Live house show, they were doing... Let me ask you this. Here's the flip side of this question.
Hmm.
If they run a Cruiserweight Classic show in San Jose.
Oh, yeah.
Same people, different approach. If they took the same approach to the Cruiserweight Classic on their house show circuit, or they said, hey, same move. I'm not going to say this. But if the word got out, man, they're doing crazy stuff in the house show, we'd probably go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although if they're doing a full house show schedule plus TV taping or plus 205 Live plus Raw, you know, that's 5 days a week they're wrestling. I doubt they're going to wrestle the Cruiserweight Classic style because it's probably just too much.
Yeah. Come to Sacramento 205 Live. We have great venues here
yes,
for house shows.
We do.
That NXT show was fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, anyways. So, you know, bottom line is WWE probably not going to die off anytime soon.
Doesn't seem that way, no.
Doesn't seem that way. I even wonder if anybody would want to, I don't know, they're a real company now, Larson. I wonder if, you know, in the next 24 months we'd hear anything of any hints of, you know, somebody's making them an offer.
I don't know.
$1 billion.
It's interesting that they got about $750 million in revenue, yet their profits were only about $34 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes total sense that it's an expensive product to put on.
I don't know what, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what the comparable number to, like, for the UFC. I have no idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know either.
How much the revenue is in terms, like, versus, per, like, what their profit margin is.
Cool, that's about 5%.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Is that good? It's $33 million, $34 million a year. Over 10 years, it's 340 million. Or 30 years, it's $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess in 30 years, $1 billion is pretty good.
Well, they've been doing it for 30 years. Plus,
I mean, look, a 5% return on an investment is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's really not bad. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I got like 0.1% of my savings account with my bank.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. Moving on. Nikki Bella retiring, maybe?
Not quite.
No?
Earlier this week, Pro Wrestling Sheet had a report that Nikki Bella would be taking a break from WWE following WrestleMania. Apparently, you know, she just came back, last year, following WrestleMania after neck surgery.
Ugh,
but apparently that neck is still giving her issues, pain.
Just stop.
And occasionally causes numbness on one side of her body.
Stop wrestling. You're very talented. You got an amazing boyfriend who won't marry you.
And she's an executive producer of pretty much a reality show empire between Total Divas and Total Bellas and a burgeoning YouTube channel.
I know.
There's plenty of revenue streams for Brie Bella to capitalize on without having to put their body on the line in the wrestling ring, especially if Nikki is dealing with neck issues and numbness. That's not good.
It's not good. What does her mom do again?
Doesn't she? She's like a recruiter for executives. Like,
yeah, that sounds right.
She places, she finds executives for companies.
And then JJ is like her assistant.
More or less. That was the impression I got from Total Bellas.
She carries the bags around.
So her contract, Nikki's contract, is set to expire after Mania.
Yeah.
And she is expected to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think on the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Meltzer said that she might still make appearances for the major shows.
Yeah, but
potentially wrestling.
Her days on the full-time.
Done.
Yeah, pretty much done, which is why we're going to get, at Mania, a tag match.
Reportedly,
but with Nikki Bella and her boyfriend, John Cena, who will not marry her.
Mm-hmm.
And the married couple of The Miz and Maryse. You think that's going to be central to their storyline?
Oh, yes.
You think that Miz and Maryse, because they're married, that's going to be central conflict of
they're
gonna, John
they're gonna
Cena
say,
match.
They're going to say, look at the strength of our relationship.
They are, aren't they? That's so dumb.
That's what they're going to do.
That's so dumb, but for some reason I'm going to like
it. I mean, it's, you know, they're not shy about playing that storyline on the Total Bellas and Total Divas shows.
Like, I feel like at this point, that's all just simply a work.
Could be.
It's not now. It's just John Cena and Nikki Bella strategizing when the best time is for him to propose to her. What's best for business?
Yeah,
their proposal of
so that they can feature that on the season finale during sweeps.
Are sweeps still a thing in this day and age? Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Maximize your ad rates.
Look, say what you will about Nikki Bella, she was able to sort of weather the women's revolution storm, and still kind of come out as, you know, one of the bigger female names.
Yeah.
after her and Brie were kind of the poster children, if you will, for what the women's division...
What was kind of wrong with it.
What was wrong with it, yeah. Exactly. But she had a good little feud with Carmella, mm-hmm. after the brand split, mm-hmm. after she came back. And then she's got a decent little thing going. I mean, it's been going for a little while with Natalia.
Yeah.
They're going to have their blow off at Elimination Chamber. And so...
And she's improved significantly as a wrestler. And
I think the Women's Revolution thing kind of made her better.
Yeah.
It made her up her game, I mean, but yeah.
Granted, this is all based on watching Total Divas,
mm-hmm.
and Total Bellas, that there's been times where, you know, like there was this one scene I remember from this last season of Total Divas where... She's coming back, and she said she needs to change her style so as not to put so much impact, mm-hmm. on her neck. So she goes to Daniel Bryan and goes, hey, mm-hmm. teach me some new stuff.
Yeah. And then he starts doing his weird animal shit. He's going to do this with Brock. That was so great.
I know.
I don't know. I was going to do this.
Probably the highlight of Total Bellas.
Yeah, I know. I know. What a bummer. Like, we thought it was going to be amazing. No, the highlight was John Cena's painting of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. That was great, and the revelation that was JJ Bella. All right. So, yeah, Nikki Bella, you know, will she be missed? I don't know.
Hall of Famer, yes or no?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, John Cena's her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Of course she's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, she's a Hall of Famer.
Brie? It's got to be the Bella Twins.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess.
It's got to be. It's the Bella Twins, man. That was their thing. That's literally their Twitter account. Is the
I understand.
Bella Twins.
I understand.
Yeah. One's
but
not
I think,
going in with
but
the
like
other.
Nikki was the longest reigning Divas champion ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brie has had the same level of championship success as Nikki. That's why I ask.
So the Edge and Christian didn't go in together as a tag team.
Not yet. Well, Christian's not in. Period. Yet.
Christian's not in yet. Wasn't he like he was kind of half rumored for this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. I would think the Bella Twins would go in together.
Probably.
Because they're, I mean, you know, regardless, they were like almost always linked via storyline.
Yeah.
You know, and then they would like switch in and out for each other on the slide away, yeah. and stuff.
Yeah. So, and then when they weren't teaming together, they were feuding with each other.
Without one, the other wouldn't have existed for the most part. I mean, genetically speaking, anyways. Anyways, we got another Seth Rollins update.
Yeah. Following the pretty vague and uninformative injury update on Raw, which just kind of recapped all everything that happened on social media the previous week. Wrestling Observer Radio reported that Rollins apparently should be good to go for WrestleMania. This is what Dave Meltzer had to say about it. Seth is considered good for WrestleMania, so Triple H versus Seth is on,
yeah.
and that's what they're working towards.
Okay.
Maybe that's why they didn't tip their hand, but they are going with the idea that that match is still on, and he will be ready for WrestleMania. Seth, right before we started, he tweeted something where he was watching ESPN and The Miz was on, and Seth said something to the extent of...
Rehab ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too. I know. I thought he was talking about the little ticker line where they were talking about Charles Oakley.
Oh.
did you see
yeah.
that? Poor Charles Oakley. That was rough. So anyways, yeah. I didn't notice it was The Miz. It's funny. Yeah.
Well, he hashtagged The Miz in it, or tagged him in it.
Oh, I was half. I think I was heating up my pizza.
Oh,
so,
okay. Well,
priorities in my life,
yeah.
man. Priorities. I don't know about this. I mean, it's fine. That's good. It'll be a good pop for the go home episode, I guess. But still, we're gonna be sitting there,
and we don't want to see Seth blow out his
name.
What
are we, like eight rows back, something like that?
We're further back than that.
Okay. But I want to see there and watch his knee get blown out. That's going to put a damper on everything, and I feel like that's a definite going to happen. That's like an 80% chance of happening.
Well, they'll wrap the knee up. They'll put a brace on it.
And they'll make it a street fight. Everybody wear jeans.
I
get
know.
A sledgehammer and a chair.
Keep the high-risk stuff to an absolute minimum.
Zero high-risk stuff.
So long as Seth's knees can take a pedigree.
Can withstand a pedigree. Yeah, exactly, which still even that's up in the air.
Because you didn't watch the documentary on him, but when he was coming back, that was a major thing he said was getting over the fact that he has to land on his knee.
Yeah, no kidding.
To deliver a pedigree.
Yeesh. Goodness gracious. Just put two giant pillows.
And the first time he did it, it was at the Performance Center, and someone asked him how that feel, and he goes, oh, that hurt. But he just had to power through.
Jesus. That sucks, man.
I know.
So, yeah, we're going to see it. It's going to happen. But, you know, again, that brings up the point. What's going to happen with Samoa Joe?
Wouldn't be surprised with Braun Strowman.
Really?
Or Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn would be all behind. I would love that. I think it's going to be Joe versus Sami, Braun versus everybody in the Battle Royal.
Probably.
In the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That's my guess. But yeah, we're going to get Seth Rollins. That's good for him if he's ready to go.
I don't know much about knees and how they heal up.
Right.
Because, you know, when you tear your ACL, that's the one that goes through the middle of your knee that provides, I think, a vast majority of the stability through the center of the knee. When you tear that, that's surgery. That's automatic,
yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're an athlete. But the ligaments on the outside of the knee, I don't know how well. I don't know. Depending on the severity of the tear, if it's not torn all the way, maybe it's a partial tear for Seth.
Right.
And they think, okay, 8 weeks, it can heal sufficiently that you could do something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. If his knee gets bent inward again, that's probably not good for the rest of the ligaments in his knee. Because that one is already either torn, partially torn, or just freshly healed.
I'm pretty sure Triple H is going to come out and challenge him to a collar and elbow match, which is literally where they just stand there and they do this. One hand on the collar and then elbow like this. They just do this for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. And that I'd be okay with watching that.
Yeah.
Just so I don't have to watch his knee get blown out.
Yeah.
A collar and elbow match. It'll be a street fight.
Probably.
Yeah. And Triple H, you know Triple H is going to go out of his way to protect the shit out of Seth Rollins because he loves that guy.
Yeah.
He loves him. So, let's answer some questions.
Yes, the Shit Twins advocate, Alexander Corrente. Beard for life and too sweet, friendos.
Can I get a too sweet?
No.
Come on, man. Give me a too sweet.
No.
Give me a too sweet, Larson.
Not going to happen.
Larson!
No. I kind of answered this question on our NXT 205 Live recap, but I'll answer it here, too. The Miz is great, and his interactions with Daniel Bryan have been solid segments that generate a lot of heat.
Yeah, I don't like your idea here.
However, due to the fact that Daniel Bryan cannot compete anymore, does that take away from the quality of those promos because there can't really be a great payoff? For me, it really does. Here's the payoff.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan says, Miz, you're soft. It's been saying for months.
Yeah.
I can't compete, but I know someone who can.
And he's strong.
Let me introduce you to Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
That's how you bring Shinsuke onto SmackDown.
I don't like it.
You just said you liked it.
Yeah, I know. I lied. I don't like it. I don't like it because I feel like the Daniel Bryan Miz feud is too small and Shinsuke is too big for that.
Let me ask you this.
What?
What if the Miz is somehow the WWE champion when that happens?
If Shinsuke wins the title in his debut,
yeah,
then yes, I will say I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Well, we'd have to probably have to wait till the summer at the soonest for that to be the case.
Yeah, not going to happen.
No, it's going to happen right after WrestleMania.
Exactly. All right. The ghost of Larson's pre-cum. Ew. Ew. Naferetti. That's his actual name, I guess. Brand new Patreon here. Thanks for grossing me out, and thanks for contributing to the show.
Thank you.
Which superstar needs help getting their ring gear ready? I personally think Braun Strowman needs help with his braided ponytail. Which superstar needs help getting their ring gear ready? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious about that. Well, obviously, when The Undertaker is in full regalia, I would think him.
I wonder if Billie Kay needs help getting her cape on.
Maybe. Because
it seems long and like it could get twisted up and be cumbersome and stuff.
You need to do the thing, yeah.
Peyton Royce can help her out with that. I'm pretty sure Roman can put his vest on by himself.
I think so too. I'm trying to think.
Let's try to think. There's not a whole lot of wrestlers with like intricate
ring
gear. That's what I'm trying to think.
I know. Would you need anything special for Naomi's like glow stuff? Not really.
No.
No. Maybe when the Authors of Pain have like their full on. I wonder what their vision's like when they have their full masks.
Oh yeah,
on.
Those masks look like they cover their eyes.
So maybe if they do, maybe they need some help, like
could
making
be.
Sure everything's looking good.
Yeah,
Paul Ellering, and I know it's Paul Ellering who does it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, they're probably learning so much from Paul
Ellering.
That's what's
great
about that.
I know. Connor O'Farrell, hey friendos, new patron here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Connor.
And I was wondering if you guys think Cesaro will ever get a big push or at least get a world title run in the next few years like the fans have been calling out for. I believe this is one of the top three best workers in the company along with Styles and Rollins, and it would be a crime.
A crime!
On WWE's behalf to not capitalize on him. Anyways, love the podcast, guys. Hope you keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The only thing I think right now that's keeping Cesaro from a world title push is trying to think of the best way to put this. He has a connection with the crowd based predominantly on his in-ring ability, I think. Not to say he lacks charisma, because he doesn't. But I think connecting with people on a more personal level, I think that if, once he can do that, beyond just wowing people with his amazing in-ring abilities, I think once he does that, then he can take that leap up to the main event.
If you were to swap The Miz out for Cesaro, Cesaro would already be in the main event scene on SmackDown.
Yeah, probably.
I believe that.
Probably.
So he's just in a situation where there's always been talent just above him on the totem pole, keeping him from getting up further. I don't know. If all things were equal and they didn't redraft, he would have a very tough time getting anywhere further on than where he is now. Maybe whenever his thing with Sheamus is done, I could possibly see him adding some more legitimacy to the U.S. title, and then from there, the sky's the limit. So possibly, but I would want to see how the next draft shakes out for him, because I think if they make things relatively lopsided again, there's the chance for him.
And he wanted to go to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, that's what he said publicly.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought, because granted, I mean, if you believe everything that's been floating around about the draft, that most performers didn't know where they were going until the draft itself happened. But I don't know, maybe he had some inclination. I mean, obviously you want to go to SmackDown because he thought it'd be the more wrestling focused show.
There's a small handful of guys. I'm thinking of him, Sami Zayn. I can't think of anybody else, but him and Sami Zayn for sure, that would have really benefited. Because if both of those, let's take the Sheamus thing out of the equation. Sheamus for that matter. If you put Sami Zayn and Cesaro both, you put them both on SmackDown, Raw doesn't lose much. And SmackDown gains
a lot.
So it's interesting to me that they did, you know, like all those guys went to Raw and then they threw Cesaro in there too.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's like, man, he would have been perfect for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. He really would have been. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a combination for me of placement on brands. Like if they had never done the brand split, then no, he would have been not a chance.
Yeah.
But now they have the brand split. There's the possibility, I think, if he's able to sort of wiggle his way in there, and maybe if, you know, sadly enough, if there's an injury or two, a key injury might help his case a bit. I think he would be good to go. I think there's just too many people who do have that thing that you're talking about that do sort of have that connection, or what the WWE considers a connection more than him. But I don't know. It might just be a matter also of longevity with him. The good thing about Cesaro is that he hasn't been in the world title scene yet.
Mm-hmm.
So contrast that with somebody like Dolph Ziggler, who's had the world title twice. It was very underwhelming. And then he got, you know, no fault of his own. He got concussed.
Yeah.
And so we kind of feel like he's, even though it isn't the case, we kind of feel like been there, done that with Dolph. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you've had so many opportunities. Even though we know the truth, there is that misconception there, or that perception rather. With Cesaro, he hasn't sniffed the world title really yet.
Nope.
And so there's still that, what would this be like aspect to him?
Especially if he's paired with the right opponent.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would love to see Cesaro versus AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Even Cesaro or Randy Orton would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heaven's Assassin Xavier Sky. First time patron. Thank you.
Thank
Xavier.
You very much.
And be sure, you know, on the Patreon, when you put your question down, make sure you specify first time, because we'll word search first time. And I've loved you guys ever since you were back on the Big M. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just recently rewatched the feud with Cesaro and Sami Zayn from NXT and found it way more entertaining seeing how far along the both of these competitors have come since then. My question is, do you think we'd ever see that again to that magnitude, and who would you like to see paired against each other? Would we ever see Cesaro versus Sami Zayn
again? I think he's asking, would we ever see a feud in NXT that was good, revisit it, years later, after those wrestlers have been in the main roster, and be impressed with how A, much they've grown, and B, how impressive they still were back then. I think that's what he's asking.
Yeah, I mean, you look at NXT right now, and there's so much good talent. It's hard seeing any of those guys not make it to the main roster and make a big impact.
I know.
And so that naturally leads you to think, you know, we talk about it all the time. Well, Joe's on Raw, so Shinsuke can't be on Raw. You know, Balor's on Raw, Joe's on Raw. We're going to see sort of, you know, that redone.
It'd be interesting to see, say, Authors of Pain are in NXT for another year, get called up, and then after 3 years on Main, they have another feud with DIY.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Especially with Authors of Pain because they're so young.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
Lee Anderson. Hey, Stephen Larson, new patron from Scotland here.
Oh,
thank
nice.
You very much. You, Living Lee. In the same region Noam Dar was.
Oh, Alicia Fox.
With the Undertaker's with the Undertaker's rather lackluster performance in the Rumble, despite his fairly major push for it, in his opinion, do you think he can still go, or is it all over? He mentions Undertaker being out of shape, and he worries that he can't be carried to a match, especially given Roman only really shines when someone else can go.
Yeah, that's true.
Roman does not have what it takes to carry a match on his own yet, so when all is said and done, if the dead man's legacy is not Mania, what is it, because the last few showings
he's had
ain't no legacy maker. So is he done or not? Thanks, friendos.
All right, make no mistake about it. The Undertaker's legacy is his longevity.
Yes.
And what he accomplished over the
26-year career he's had in WWE.
5 decades he's been around.
Yeah.
So you have to take what he says now with a grain of salt. You know, my legacy is no longer WrestleMania. We both thought that meant that we would see a bit more of The Undertaker between then and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like we originally thought, okay, well, he's going to show up a bit more throughout the next year.
Yeah. We thought he might kind of have his last ride tour, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Before retiring.
But then it sort of didn't even turn into that. He was at the Rumble. Looks like he's going to be at Mania against Roman.
And who knows after that?
Yeah. So,
because he did not look like he was moving well at the Rumble.
Yeah.
He didn't look like he was in the best of shape. But, you know, apparently he had hip surgery within the last year.
So
he needs another hip surgery. He needs to have his hip replaced.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'll be able to just kind of, you know, go a couple more years and then hang him up.
Yeah.
Or maybe after this year's Mania, he'll decide, okay, I can't handle this anymore. The hip's too much of an issue.
I think that, like, you know, if the question is, you know, what is his legacy? We've seen it.
His legacy was cemented years ago.
Yeah. And in my opinion, it culminated at
WrestleMania 29. Yeah.
20. Was it 29 or 28?
Sorry, 28.
28. Yeah. With Triple H versus
the end of an era match.
End of an era match was fantastic.
Yeah.
Matt Stokely. First time patron. Thank you, Matthew. Been reading some rumors around WWE dropping Foley from the Raw GM position after Mania. Who would be your choice to book in the role, and who do you think they will? Have you heard those rumors?
Yeah.
He
has a hip issue as well.
Oh, so it would be at his behest.
Potentially.
Okay.
Well, he had like a Facebook post saying that he didn't have health insurance anymore, and so he needs hip surgery but can't get it.
Oh, my God. Jeez, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
Man, that's a bummer.
I know. So apparently, he's supposed to take time off before, what was the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
Roadblock.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
he's supposed
to
take time off around Roadblock.
Wow. Okay, so him and Stephanie have a falling out.
Has been teased for a while.
That was so egregious that he had to leave. Who would you want to see replace Mick?
I mean, the first
Foley.
Name that pops in my head is Kurt Angle.
That would be great. That'd be great.
But I don't know if that'll happen.
Bump, but now I just have his theme song stuck in my head. Okay, well, let me think here. I'd prefer to see Edge as the SmackDown GM.
Yeah.
That'd be good if he was interested. What I'm trying to think of other retired suit. Didn't we? We did a list. We did a list.
We did.
The people who we want to see as GM.
We did. What about JBL?
Oh, man. I would love that.
Corey Graves.
Corey Graves. There you go.
Austin Aries.
There you go. Hold on a second. Let me think of one now. I'll think of one. Aaron Rex.
He's not in WWE anymore.
I know.
Baron Corbin. Shawn Michaels.
Lex Luger is on Eric Bischoff's podcast. How is that possible? Eric Bischoff has said several times that he didn't care for Lex professionally or personally.
Well, those were his feelings in the mid-90s. Maybe they've changed.
Evidently. I'm really looking forward to listening to that. I really want to tune in. This, you know, I give myself sort of rewards for making it through the week.
Yeah.
I mean, making it through the week. We sit here and fucking ramble about wrestling all day long. It's not a big deal. But, you know, when my workload is like, okay, I can breathe now.
Yeah.
Workload's done. I watch Timeless on NBC.
Yeah.
Because I love that show.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
It's better by the week.
Really?
You would hate it. And number two, that's it. I sometimes play video games. But I just let myself breathe a little bit. I'm going to listen to that podcast.
Good idea.
Tomorrow.
Okay, I want a full recap on Monday.
We're going to recap Luger
Bischoff? I just want you to tell me what they talked about. We don't have to do a video about it.
I'm not going
to
do a video on it?
We don't
what
have
if the
to.
People want to see a video?
Well, I mean,
what if we did that? What if we did a recap on Eric Bischoff and Lex Luger's podcast? That would be great. I don't know, man. You're thinking no. I'm thinking definitely.
We'll see what the people have to say.
Yeah. What was the question? Oh, yeah. Who would we book in the role? Yeah, Lex Luger.
Angle.
No, Bischoff. Give me a break. It'd be Bischoff. It'd be Bischoff. You didn't like Bischoff. I think he's great. Bischoff would be great, man.
No.
Are you kidding me? I'm back.
You win. CM Punk.
Ernest Miller.
Oh, that's good.
Scott Steiner. I want Scott Steiner. All right, listen up, you fat bastard Samoa Joe. Tonight you're going to take on fat bastard Samoa Joe.
What about
take on myself?
What if William Regal?
Oh, that'd be great.
Did both Raw and NXT?
I would love it because William Regal isn't like a confrontational GM. He would just there would be so much like having to deal with Stephanie. There would be just an ungodly amount of heavy sighing.
Yep.
Oh, it'd be
pure
great.
Exasperation.
I want William Regal. No, I want him to lead a revolt against Raw with UK tournament guys.
Good idea.
That's what I want to see happen.
Good idea.
That'd be fantastic.
Aaron Gaspar.
Yeah.
Hey, friendos. First time question here. Long time Patreon. Patron. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Aaron's question. If
Aaron.
You were a wrestler in the WWE style, this is a
Aaron.
Question, what would your five moves of doom be?
Ooh.
Bonus, if you were a tag team, what would be your tandem finisher?
Oh, I like that. What's our tandem finisher? Be double powerbomb, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Have to be double powerbomb. All right. So one of my five moves of doom would be powerbomb. Another one would be Michinoku driver because everybody seems to do them these days.
Yeah.
Another one would be the choke slam because I really like that. DDT and stunner.
That's your five?
Yeah.
Rainmaker.
Oh, why didn't I say Rainmaker? Damn it. Oh, man. I love the Rainmaker.
One winged angel.
Okay.
The knee plus.
Oh, no. Okay. I want to swap out DDT for running drop kick.
Okay. I have a hard head, so I'll do a headbutt.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And then the inverted 450 splash.
Oh, my God. You'd break every bone in your body if you did that. But that's good. I like that. I know. I want to update my 2K17.
You know what our tandem finisher should be?
What?
You should get our opponent up in a powerbomb position.
Yeah.
I'd do the inverted 450 and land on it.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's good. It's like like inverted 450 splash bomb.
Innovation.
Innovation. I love that. What a great question. We also have some video questions.
Three to be exact.
First up, we're going to go with the stalker, CJ Reveley, who's in his car. This is, watch this video. It's great. Here you go, CJ.
Hey there, friendos. Sorry if it's dark as shit. I just got home, sitting in my car. I'm just going to do this real quick. My question is, how would you guys book Goldust's final year? I'm seeing him less and less on TV. Not sure how much time or how many more years he's got left in him. I don't want him to fade into obscurity. I don't know about title runs. Maybe in his last year get a shot at the Universal title, but ultimately I want to see him wrestle as Dustin Rhodes. That's all I want. Just for one fucking year as Dustin Rhodes. I'm tired of Gold Dust. I'm sorry. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Bye, friendos.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ. I hope he didn't get caught. You see him, he's in his car stalking somebody. He said, I just got home. But when he says home, I know what he meant.
My goodness. My goodness.
He says, I'm at home when I'm stalking somebody. Oh, that wasn't that. Goodness. Tell me I wasn't no stalkerish.
It just video looked like question. He was in his car asking a question, man.
I love CJ and his questions.
Yes.
How would you book? I like Goldust. How would you book his final year? I'll say this. I would rather just fast forward to the Dustin Rhodes Cody Rhodes match that we got robbed of.
I know. That's that what should I should have been at Mania. When we watched this question before we started, that's the first thing that popped in my head is like, why couldn't they have done Cody versus Goldust back when Cody was still in the company?
Here's what I want. I want a new mysterious member to join LIJ in a luchador mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they attack the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, they attack Bullet Club.
Thank you.
And this new guy has it out for Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's unmasked to be Dustin Rhodes.
Good idea.
That's what I want to see.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And they headline Wrestle Kingdom 12.
They headline. A little overboard there, buddy. They're a couple matches after the New Japan Rumble.
No, they headline. It's Naito Omega for the IWGP belt.
Okay.
And then Cody versus Dustin retirement match.
Oh my goodness.
I kid. Flip them. That's how it'll be.
Flip them. Okay. Flip them. That's fine.
That's how it'll be.
How about this? Dustin Rhodes in the Japan Rumble. The New Japan.
No, your first idea was way better.
Okay, good. All right, we got another video question from Adam Fella. Let's see what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos, your Stardew Valley champion Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. Now, I know that you guys said that Scott Steiner would not fit in on current WWE programming, and I agree with you completely. But let's say he was brought back into the WWE in all of his glory. I think you know what I mean. What storyline could my dad's favorite wrestler, Scott Steiner, be in this new era? And it doesn't have to be PG, but what would you guys put him in? Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
Adam Fella says there's nothing finer than Scott Steiner.
So what would be a good storyline for Freakzilla, Scott Steiner?
Well, Fella wants him in all of his Steiner glory. So I think it would have to be walking HR disaster Scott Steiner, because the WWE is a proper publicly traded world global branded company now.
Yes.
And the likes of Scott Steiner are so horribly out of date.
Yes.
That you would have to go with that angle. He would come in trying to slapping asses.
He would be a man out of time.
He'd be a man out of time. Exactly. And like all the people doing the flippy stuff, he would be so confused by it all. Oh, my God. Do you see that guy just, you see that bastard just jump off that ring post and flip onto that other guy? He'd show up at 205 Live, start suplexing all the cruiserweights, but then he'd be amazed by like, oh, look at him, that little skinny, pale bastard used an umbrella. You little bastard. I have no idea. I don't know.
Well,
he would be the latest La Luchadora.
What,
okay, it was me, Scott Steiner.
Let's start with this. What show would he be on, Raw or SmackDown?
205 Live, NXT.
There you go, NXT. Scott Steiner and NXT.
What am I going to get called up, you British bastard?
Put him in a program against...
Pete Dunne.
Ty Dillinger.
Oh, poor Ty Dillinger. No, how about this? Eric Young tries to recruit Scott Steiner to sanity. You don't want none of me. You don't know what insanity is. Yeah, I want to be insanity. I'm looking at you, Nikki Cross. Maybe you, Alexander Wolf. And he's all, don't hug me, you bastard.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be great. Then he goes to Raw, fights Samoa Joe, calls him a fat bastard. The only thing I should be afraid of is to dress up like a cheeseburger or cover myself in Twinkies. It would all be great.
It'd all be a mess.
It would all be an absolute
mess.
He'd get the backstage segments would be exclusively him trying to like grab Stephanie's butt. That's what he did.
I know.
Poor Stacy Keebler. She had her ass grabbed by him so much. So gross. No, I don't know. I would just want him to, like, as long as he got in some really, really well-placed awkward plugs for Shoney's and Awkward
Choices. Yes.
That's all I'd care about. That's all he does these days. And I loved it. Well, I think he still wrestles. But I don't know. I think it'd be great. Hall of Famer for Scott Steiner. Yay or nay?
Well, does he deserve it?
He definitely deserves it. The Steiner brothers deserve it.
Yeah.
They absolutely deserve it.
Will he ever get in? I don't know.
I'm going to say yeah, as long as he doesn't die in the next 10 years. I can see 5 years from now. If he keeps his nose clean, if he does Shoney's exclusively for 5 years, mellows the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mellows out. Like, I've seen him in shooting. Like, he's... It's so weird. Like, you'd think that somebody like that would always be like that. But then I've seen him in interviews. And somebody like that that's that crazy on the mic doesn't open Shoney's in Ackworth, Georgia. You know what I mean? So there's got to be a side of him.
No, I understand
that's
that.
That's totally cool.
Yeah.
It's totally normal.
Yeah.
He needs to channel that for his Hall of Fame induction speech, which that's probably the only reason why they wouldn't, because he gets up there. It's just a sea of opportunity for him.
I know.
What does he care at that point?
I know.
I'm going to go to bed with you. I'm going to go to bed with you. I've been to bed with you. And you're a fat bastard. I remember you from that other crap promotion. You fat bastard. Motherfucker. And he's looking at Samoa Joe. Where's Kurt Angle? Just starts yelling.
Goodness.
Goodness gracious. Adam Fellow, thank you very much for the question and allowing me to talk about Scott Steiner. It's so much fun. We have another question from who we think is this low-level WWE writer, Carlos Hackworth. Let's see what Carlos has to say.
My question for you guys this week. We have four big pay-per-views a year, that being Mania, Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. If there could be another big pay-per-view, what do you think it should be? You can either name the ones that we've already had, or create one yourself. Me personally, I think that Money in the Bank has become a symbol for the wrestling year. Being that, you know, you don't know the outcome, then you can cash in at any time during the year. So I would think that, as well as what do you think about a cruiserweight Money in the Bank match? And also a female's Mrs. Money in the Bank match. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carlos.
Carlos, I would say this.
Money in the Bank Money is more or bank, less the fifth major pay-per-view.
For a bit there, it felt like the four. Like, it felt like it replaced Survivor Series.
Because
there's always the big surprise of, oh, they're cashing in. So I would say money. Like, my real answer is Money in the Bank. Create a new one, though. It would be In Your House Styles Clash. The phenomenal
one against all.
Against all.
Yeah, where AJ is in every match.
Exactly.
Seven matches, all with AJ Styles.
All AJ. Finally, we got a video question from our best friendo, Patrick Sparks. Patrick, what do you got for us?
Hey, friendos, Pat here. So, there's so much wrestling to watch today, but I want to spend some of my spare time watching some old shit, like WWF or WCCW or something like that. But let's start with old WCW, you know, like Vader, Cactus Jack feud time. Speaking of that feud, I want you to name your top three WCW feuds from the 80s era. Throw some early 90s in there, too. But top three feuds and some of the best matches from those feuds. Thanks, Mendoz. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
Man, that's a loaded question, buddy. Top three WCW feuds from the late 80s, early 90s. I think like one of the biggest feuds of all time would have to be Flair versus Steamboat.
Yeah, that was late 80s. Period. You can also go with Flair Sting.
Mm-hmm. Flair, everybody, because Flair Funk had some good stuff too.
Yes. Early 90s, of course, there's Vader, Cactus Jack.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. That one, like, when, what year was the Dangerous Alliance formed? Wasn't it like 93?
Something like that.
Something like that. So Dangerous Alliance era WCW. I don't know. I watched a bunch of like... I watched a bunch of 1989 WCW, and I talked about this on the show a little bit, but like whenever I'm in my office and it's late, and I'm like, I'm going to flip on some crap from WCW. It's always 1989 because, man, you have the Road Warriors. You've got guys like, I think, Ron Simmons, like, so Doom. You've got Sting, Luger, Michael Hayes. You've got it's everybody. It's freaking every weird Southern NWA type wrestler is there, and Terry Funk is just cutting these insane promos. It's great. And then they've got these amazing jobbers that literally look like me or you, just disrobes in all of our glory except for a pair of black trunks or color trunks, and we go out there and get murdered by like Ron Simmons or, you know, whoever. So yeah, I don't know. Those are all good feuds that we mentioned. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you got. All right. And is that it for the dirt sheet?
That's it.
All right. Well, this weekend we got a bunch of good episodes of Count Out happening.
Yep.
And check out our predictions for the upcoming Elimination Chamber that's going down on Sunday, and we'll have a recap of that for you on Monday.
Correct.
All right. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.